To move to item 1095. I'm sorry, 1101. Yeah. I apologize, 1101. Only I'd learn my numbers.
Prohibit transfers of recreational vehicles and with malfunctioning or non-functioning wastewater systems.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Over the past years, the Portland Bureau of Transportation has seen a significant increase in complaints of derelict, abandoned, or malfunctioning recreational vehicles, or RVs, on our city streets. More concerning is the amount of reports we receive from community members, businesses, owners, business owners, and others of the extreme cases of these recreational vehicles, ones that have caught fire due to improper electrical wiring, RVs that leak sewage, gas, or other dangerous liquids onto neighborhood streets. These are a clear public health and safety hazards that need to be addressed. With this action today, we are getting upstream on an issue the city literally spends a significant amount of resources to solve.
Colleagues, 2 weeks. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. I apologize.
Only on page one. One of two. It's one of three. We are making it clear to tow lots, businesses, or any other owners of derelict RVs that by knowingly selling and in some cases giving away RVs with malfunctioning wastewater or fuel systems that will leak onto the city right away, that you are putting the health and safety of those who occupy, live, work, or play near that RV at risk. The city spends significant resources to dispose of the hazardous waste or materials, pick up trash, tow, and recycle these RVs. We also recognize that properly dismantling these RVs can be expensive and a burden on owners. So PBOT, in partnership with Metro, will be hosting an RV turn-in day towards the end of October to provide a way for owners to dispose of these RVs in a responsible way. It will cost the city money, but we believe it's the right and necessary thing to do. We do have invited testimony, and the mayor will introduce those invited panelists in 1 minute here. And I want to thank them for being here today and for their advocacy and support on this issue. And I'd also would like to recognize the work of both PBOT and Portland Police, who have been thoughtful and thorough on their work to address the increased number of derelict, abandoned, or malfunctioning RVs on our streets. And I also want to thank Mayor Wheeler and his staff for their work in partnership with my office to take this step to get upstream on the issue. And I also want to introduce an amendment that is some technical clarifications that I would ask that we move at this time as well. And then I'll turn it over to Mayor Wheeler.
I'll second the technical amendments.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman moves the technical amendments. Commissioner Fish seconds the technical amendments. We'll call that Saltzman 1.
And turn it over to Mayor Wheeler.
Very good. Colleagues, 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to tour the facility where we've been storing these derelict and malfunctioning RVs. Beyond the expense of towing these off the street and the cost to the city and the valuable time and resources it consumes, it was apparent, I will say very apparent, as you'll probably see from the presentation today, that these RVs were a public health and safety hazard. These were the extreme of the extreme, with some completely burned out due to electrical issues. The smell of leaking sewage was overwhelming. They were stuffed often with needles and human waste. PBOT and our offices have fielded over 4,000 complaints from concerned residents, and we must respond with a multifaceted approach. This ordinance is an attempt to head off these hazards upstream and discourage individuals or businesses from gifting or selling these derelict, malfunctioning RVs at no or a very low cost. We do understand that this can be costly to owners, and that's why we're pairing this ordinance with an RV disposal turn-in day. It will still cost the city money. However, it will cost significantly less than it costs to have staff assess, tow, and dispose of RVs as we're currently doing. What we are saying is You can't just give these malfunctioning vehicles away. Instead, we are providing an option for turning them in and having them disposed of properly. I would lastly like to highlight the great work and the strides that PBOT, Dave Benson in particular, and the Police Bureau, Sergeant Teague in particular, have had in addressing these RVs. This is a very complicated issue. They've been nimble and incredibly thoughtful in their approach to these complicated scenarios, and it goes without saying it is very difficult work. Commissioner Saltzman, I want to thank you and your team for your leadership on this issue, and I'm very appreciative of the work that we've had the opportunity to do together. We have five invited individuals for invited testimony. I'd like to go ahead and call them up first. We can probably pull two more chairs up if people don't mind that. We have Dave Benson from PBOT, Robert King, who's the Assistant Chief of the Portland Police Bureau, Randy Teague, who is a sergeant with the Portland Police Bureau, Jennifer Young, who is the Lentz Neighborhood Association Livability Chair, Corky Collier from the Columbia Corridor Association. Welcome.
There we go. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Dave Benson. I'm the Parking Services Group Manager at the Bureau of Transportation. I'm here today to explain the ordinance being introduced by Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Wheeler. The purpose of this ordinance is to make unlawful the sale, loan, or other transfer of RVs that leak fuels or have leaky wastewater systems or are a reasonable person would conclude that they are in such disrepair that they would be likely to leak. This ordinance was also written with exceptions to it. So an individual can transfer an RV to a repair facility, a licensed dismantler, or to the City of Portland for that matter during the RV turn-in day. My presentation today is designed to share with you the work we have done in recent months with derelict and hazardous RVs so that you understand why we are making this recommendation. You also hear from my colleagues to my left here, Commander Robert King, Sergeant Randy Teague, and community members who are deeply concerned about this issue. We believe that adopting this ordinance is a way to keep dangerous and hazardous RVs off our city streets. In November of 16, City Council provided $150,000 to the Bureau of Transportation for the purposes of dismantling and recycling derelict RVs that qualified as abandoned vehicles, that is, vehicles that aren't operable, have no current registration, have little or no value, and no legal owner claims them when they're towed. We made, and you approved this request because an RV at an end of its life cycle has no value, and the disposal process can cost up to $2,000 for an individual if they are lucky enough to find disposal facilities that will take RVs. Tow companies and scrap cars don't want RVs because they don't have any commercial value. This $150,000 helped us partner with tow companies to tow derelict RVs off the street and dispose of them. At the time, PBOT increased the number of abandoned auto officers from 3 to 4, as well as our efforts on chronic abandoned vehicle cluster locations. To give you some sense of how the issue has exploded, in all of 2016, we had 4,000 abandoned RV cases. To date, three-quarters of the way through the year, during the first 6 months, we had 4,000, or doubling what we had all in 16. And through three-quarters of the way a year, we've had almost 7,000 abandoned RV reported cases. We are on pace to be close to 10,000 by the end of the year. And this doesn't include the over 20,000 complaints we receive for abandoned cars in the right-of-way each year. In the spring of this year, we began partnering with the Portland Police Bureau on a process that you'll hear later talk more about called the Community Caretaking Procedure. In short, this procedure allows the police to immediately seize RVs that pose an immediate public health threat to health and safety because of leaking raw sewage, flammable fuels, sharps in and around the vehicle, garbage or other waste matter that attracts rodents and creates hazardous condition. These RVs are dangerous to both the public and to those who choose to stay in them. To complement PBOT's, the Portland Police Bureau's efforts, we added an additional 4 abandoned officers for a total of 8 officers. These new 4 officers have formed what we are now calling our vehicle inspection team. They're exclusively dedicated to working on abandoned auto complaints. In addition to working to remove derelict unoccupied RVs from the roadway, they also engage with persons living in RVs, offering referrals for services. They interact with social service providers, contact neighbors and area businesses to hear their concerns, and work closely with the Portland Police Bureau Neighborhood Response Team officers to look for solutions. They are dedicated to helping people in our community, and during the hottest periods of this summer, they handed out water to persons sheltering in RVs. They also distribute heavy trash bags to occupants of RVs to help them keep the areas around the RVs clean and helping to eliminate some neighborhood livability concerns. Their addition has had a dramatic ability on our ability to respond to these RV complaints. We have reduced wait time by about 88%. As a practical matter, it was a few weeks to respond to abandoned RV complaint. It's now down to a few days. Since May of 2017, the tow yards have been full and unwilling to take additional RVs, and the new community caretaking program was launched. Therefore, all RVs were towed as either abandoned auto or community caretaking to the Portland Police Bureau's property evidence yard at Giles Lake. Each of these RVs shown has its own story and has to be handled differently. Some have drug paraphernalia, including needles and other hazards that need to be abated. Some need to have waste tanks pumped. Some have missing or obliterated vehicle identifications numbers requiring an additional investigation. Some have been completely burned. And the Fire Bureau tells us that so far this year, 25 RVs have burned. The handling of the process of RVs is both complex and nuanced depending on the condition, as is the coordination of towing, the lack of which often hamstrings the police. As a result, PBOT has assigned a full-time staff member to ensure all administrative paperwork is in order to move RVs through the demolishing process in a timely manner. We have also assigned our towing coordinator to spend about 50% of his time working with our contract towers to make sure the police get the tows when and where they need it. These are just some of the RVs that we currently have at Giles Lake, and each has a story. The one that's up on the screen right now, I'm told, and Sergeant Ty can probably speak more eloquently about it, but the day before it was towed, this was a trailer. Actually had sides and a roof. And when the police came back to tow it, this is what they found. So each is different. On this trailer, it was still a vehicle, so we have to go through a rather thoughtful process to make sure we can try to identify an owner, offer them the chance to claim it before we can dispose of it. A lot of these RVs are full of garbage, as you see here. This is just one small, it looks like a Class C motorhome, and that is all the garbage that was inside. We have a company that comes out and cleans out all the waste matter, all the sharps, all the garbage from the inside you see on the slide on your right. RVs towed. Since the community caretaking process was put in place in about May of this year, there have been 100 RVs towed under that program. Since November, when you gave us $150,000, we've towed 156 RVs as abandoned. And not too surprisingly, the motorized RVs, because they're derelict, break down on our city streets. So police officers tow them as traffic hazards fairly routinely. And we've towed 43 of those. The outcomes of the RVs towed to the Portland Police Bureau, so far we've taken 72 to the demolisher, 72. The RVs that are remaining out there, we have 96 of them, 64 of which are community caretaking tows, and 32 of which are abandoned RVs or was treated as traffic hazard. I should point out that we have to handle these very, very differently. Community caretaking tows are held on site for 60 days, whereas an abandoned RV can be disposed of in a much shorter time. This has been a costly program. The Portland Police Bureau to date has spent $92,000 in personnel costs. PBOT during last fiscal year spent $126,000. This year we're projecting somewhere between $1.3 to $1.8 million. Our costs have gone up dramatically, largely because PBOT has five full-time personnel, 3 half-time personnel, and an additional 5 staff who spend up to 25% of our time working on this project, and I didn't even count my time. So it is very expensive. We've never engaged in a process like this. We hope, we know the costs are high, but we hope with established policies and procedures we'll be able to get them down. RV recycling is about $1,500 a unit. That includes $500 for towing, $200 to clean it, about $40 to clean out the tank, and about $700 to demolish it. So it is a very expensive process, even for the city.
Could I just ask a question at that point? Where is the money coming from?
We're using our personnel are fully funded, and we're using it out of existing resources.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Revenues, talk a little bit about that. You gave us $150,000 last year in this year's budget, or actually this year's changes to fees. You added a $9 charge on every vehicle towed. And that brings us about, and that money is dedicated towards RV recycling. So that gives us a little bit of ongoing funding to your question, Commissioner, or way to help pay for this cost. Obviously, it's not everything, but it's something. Brings us up to today. We're told, we believe, that there are estimated 650 to 750 RVs in the Portland with people living in them. Some of these RVs are leaking sewage or fuel. Derelict RVs are often disposed of at little or no cost through Craigslist and other ad sites. I'd like to show you a couple actual ads. This is over the summer. We had ads, and you can kind of zoom in. I'm sorry, I can't. The one on your right says, free to the first person to remove from our lot. You must take and remove it yourself. This was a tower out in Washington County that was giving these things away because, again, remember, they have no value. The other one, the gentleman was asserting that his mother and father left it to him and that it's ready to be fully remodeled, but it's not in the best shape, and he wants $200 for it.
So just so I'm trying to follow all this, that the proposed ordinance would prohibit the tower from transferring this vehicle to anybody, even at no consideration, correct?
We have limited it to just those vehicles that are either so badly damaged or likely to leak fuels or wastewater.
Right.
But any other kinds of vehicles that are just old, it doesn't prohibit. It's
okay.
Very narrowly tailored.
But if this Chevy Winnebago was leaking, according to the definitions, then this would apply, this would essentially prohibit a towing company in Portland from offering for no consideration someone to come take one of these things, because that would be a transfer.
It makes it unlawful to do so, correct.
Whether it's for consideration or not.
Correct.
It's just you're taking this problem off my hands, and we go back to that person who's been storing it and saying, you can't do that. You have to.
Correct.
Okay.
Here's yet another Craigslist. The one on the right is the same tower in Washington County. He's busy out there trying to give away a trailer. So these actually do happen. We hear rumors every day about businesses giving away RVs to individuals. We hear about, and I think Sergeant Tyke can speak more eloquently about this, about folks going into tow yards and saying, I'd like that one right there. They put it on a tow truck and take it out and dump it somewhere in our right-of-way, and then ultimately we engage with them and we dispose of it. So it is a big problem, and it's a big problem for the towers too.
What's the current ordinance in place with regard to sleeping in an RV in a public right-of-way?
You cannot have an RV. The most restrictive reading of it is you cannot have an RV in the right-of-way unless you're actively loading or unloading for more than 8 hours.
And that's been on the books for a
that's
long
been
time.
On the books for a long, long time.
Okay, thank you.
The current situation and the impact. Derelict RVs leaking fuels or wastewater are often inhabited and parked on city streets, creating a public safety and health hazard not only to the public but the people living in them. So we receive complaints. The police or PBOT tow these vehicles, and the people that receive them are yet displaced yet again. So this process actually harms the homeless by getting these derelict vehicles. This ordinance is just one tool to prevent the most derelict of RVs from being occupied to begin with and being parked in the right-of-way, creating hazardous conditions. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question, if I could, Mayor. In your presentation, you said there are about 650 to 750 known RVs with people living in them on our streets. Is that correct?
We believe that could be correct.
Roughly. So, and in most instances, if I follow what you said, they are illegally, they're where they are parked and the way they're being used is illegal.
Almost always.
Almost always. And there's a certain percentage of them that are unsafe to both the occupants and people in the community.
Correct.
So, you know, the last time I was on Hayden Island and visited that spectacular manufactured home community, one of the things I learned is that they have an RV park where people can come hook up. They at a reasonable cost, you get electricity, water, and then there's a general store. And it turns out that a lot of people who live there are people that work in jobs like they work for the circus or construction projects or whatever. So they do this. They travel around and they just come there. They hook up and it's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful location, actually.
Mm-hmm.
As a future action, and this may be more directed to the Housing Bureau, are we thinking about ways of creating safe places for people that have high-functioning RVs where they could go at a low cost and plug in and other things subject to a set of rules and some kind of oversight so that there's not just this piece, which is important, getting the derelict off, but give people a lawful option where they can take their RV at a low cost and operate it?
Commissioner, it really is an excellent question, and it's really two parts. One, the RVs that we have on our streets, and I think Commander King and Sergeant Tyke can also speak to this, are almost universally in very poor condition.
Okay.
They're not going to hook up to anything. I mean, they don't even have power cords to hook up. They are in horrible shape, as you know. Commissioner, you remember, you directed us to provide some dollars to repair RVs. We haven't been very successful because the RVs out there are in such disrepair and are so badly maintained that there's no dollars that could repair them. So to your question, I don't know if there's too many of those out there that would fit that bill.
So just food for thought, and I don't want to – we have a lot on our agenda this afternoon, but it seems to me if we could find a couple locations and in a cost-effective way create something like what they have it in Hayden Island, where responsible parties and let's say even go one step further, maybe find a way to contract with FEMA or some other disaster agency to get some of those low-cost trailers they have, so give someone a temporary use as a transition to us looking for permanent housing and other kinds of things. My guess is we could find some dirt and like some dirt that are close to utility structures, because we're looking for just water, electricity, and sewer. So we could create a set of criteria and look for some dirt. We have a couple of ideas actually in one of my bureaus, so that's for another conversation, but that's the carrot, not the stick approach. That's how can we positively address it. And again, the model for me was seeing what happens out in Hayden Island, where it's a very attractive, well-managed thing. Well, could we create a similar environment for people that are otherwise homeless?
Sure. And just to add a little bit to it, and it's a fabulous idea that I think should be explored. But Seattle tried much the same thing, and what they found is these RV parks didn't become transitional. They became an in and of themselves. Right. People saw that as their permanent location, and they abandoned their program. City of Eugene tried the same thing, and they had much the same experience. And although that you can still camp in private lots in the city of Eugene, they haven't embraced this idea either. So I think there's been attempts around the nation at this, and I think we should talk to our colleagues in other cities to figure out best practices.
Thank you.
Very good. Commander King. Mayor and City Commissioners, if you don't mind, I'd like to make my comments at the end. I'd like to introduce Jennifer Young from the Lentz Neighborhood Association. Jennifer has been a tireless advocate on behalf of children and neighbors in our community, especially in Lentz and Brentwood, Darlington, and has been at the table, worked closely with police and community groups for a very long time in a way that's designed to help make people safer. So I'd love very much to hear from her, and then also from Sergeant Teig, of course, who in the Police Bureau has singularly been our expert in many regards and has helped to develop and implement these programs. And without him and his tireless work, along with, of course, Peabot and David Benson and Kezia Wanner, we would not be here today. So if you don't mind,
thank you
Jennifer.
Very much for that introduction. And thank you for having me speak today. I feel very privileged. My name is Jennifer Young. I am a over 20-year resident of the Lentz neighborhood. I'm coming to you as a Lentz resident today, not in my role as a LNA board member, I'd like to add, because I've been working on this for much longer than I've been involved with the Lentz Neighborhood Association. I own a small nonprofit social service agency in Lentz as well, and I am an administrator for a reporting site for livability issues. Over 2 years ago, Lentz began to see an influx of motorhomes, trailers, and RVs arrive in the neighborhood. I began documenting these vehicles, maintaining photo archives and spreadsheets, with a lot of help, because what we were seeing were very dangerous and derelict RVs. These weren't the kind of RVs that I grew up seeing for recreation. We have, I like to say, hosted over 250 of these derelict RVs by conservative counts over the past 2 years, with, I would say, about 95% being what we would consider derelict or unsafe. Most of these vehicles lack tags, many lack license plates, and often they are from out of state. This makes reporting extremely challenging for residents. Many of the RVs do not run, and it's not uncommon to see RVs acquired from junkyards or traded off Craigslist being towed with tow ropes throughout our neighborhood, narrowly avoiding people and cars. See it pretty frequently. Our parks, schools, and residential areas have often resembled RV graveyards with up to 20 caravans parked along public streets. The streets and sidewalk access often is limited, and some of these RVs have operated as mobile drug houses, fencing operations, and bike chop shops. Large groups of people tend to congregate at them as well. The biohazards associated with the derelict RVs have been a huge issue. We have documented cases of RVs leaking human waste from overfull septic tanks or occupants actually draining tanks into sewer grates or into the gutter. Sometimes we see buckets poured into the street. The smells are often unbearable, and you can smell them from several feet away, people saying they can smell them inside their houses. It's not unusual to see the sewage flowing when it rains. When we have tried to report, sometimes we're directed to the fire department because it's an immediate, you know, health hazard. Then sometimes we're directed to BDS, and then most of the time back to PBOT. And PBOT, as Dave so eloquently explained, is just completely overburdened. They're sort of the point of contact for all of this. And it has taken weeks for tow warnings to be issued, and sometimes weeks or months for tows to be arranged. Many of them simply move or have someone tow them a block or two away, resulting in a big game of whack-a-mole, and we have to start the process all over again. We have seen engines pulled out and left on hoist, dripping oil, gas, transmission fluids, especially near parks and schools. We have had, very recently, in the last couple of months, two RVs explode. They were both in the same location, oddly enough, next to the high school. The one in May was supposedly electrical. The other one was from gas. Both of these explosions burned the trees nearby, signs, utilities. Residents in the first incident were left without utilities for 3 days. In the latest incident, power was out for several hours, and it was the hottest night of the year, leaving people unable to cool their homes. Luckily, school was out when these explosions occurred. The occupants were unharmed, but this could have easily been a tragedy. We have documented and smelled RVs storing chemicals and probably, most likely, manufacturing drugs. We've seen dogs being used to guard manufacturing drug RVs, which aren't occupied by people. We have to begin to enforce city ordinances and enact measures which will limit the flow and abundance of these dangerous vehicles to our streets. Just as we ask drivers to have a license, registration, operate safe cars, get a DEQ, display their plates, and ensure and respect parking ordinances, we should expect the same from the operators of these derelict RVs. This is a crisis, and a crisis which is harming the neighborhood, the environment, and the occupants of these, basically what I call death traps. It's not good for anyone. So I urge the council to please adopt this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'd like to just focus more on just kind of extension of what she's talking about. And there's no exaggerations here. I just received a complaint before I walked in here of one that sewer is just pouring out of the bottom of it, and they sent me pictures of it. An additional impact that has not been discussed is the Bureau of Environmental Services is also taking a financial impact on this, where these are leaking into the sewer systems. And I went and got trained by some of the people that work there, and they explained that just to have that initial call, it's $1,000, and it quickly can get up to $5,000 per incident. And so these BES is incurring these expenses currently. And so that's another hit the city's taking on these. And I'd like to talk about one of the things this ordinance is going to stop is the recycling of what we're currently seizing. So if some of these vehicles we're taking, there's drugs in there, there's waste, human waste, there's syringes, there's all kinds of things that are a danger to a person. Historically, these could go to a tow yard, and then that tower could give it back to another unsuspecting person who now is believing they're getting this motorhome. They get this motorhome, they go out, it is full of syringes and bio waste from some unknown person, and then they are burdened with figuring out what to do with that. And what ends up happening is it gets dumped in the street, and or they live in it, one of the two things. So I know one of the gentlemen who's had he lived in a boat and he lived in a trailer, and they've both exploded because they're in such poor repair. So there's a, when we talk about the community caretaking piece, we're talking about the entire community. It's not, pitting neighbors against homeless people, or it's not, that's not the characterization at all. It's clearly balancing the community health concerns for all people involved. And we work closely with social services to address what Mr. Fish was talking about. We do currently find places for them if they are capable of going to a location. So the Joint Offices of Homeless Services has paid for application fees for, we've located families in these, and the removal of the vehicle, the timing of removing of the vehicle balanced against the community concern was balanced in their favor, so we didn't take it. And we found them a place to go. And so they can get their go to their work and fulfill their daily responsibilities. So there is a balancing act that's happening as far as maintaining a humane piece to this and then maintaining the community health and safety piece. And probably my unit has inspected roughly 120 of these motorhomes, a little more than that probably, and we've towed about 60. We tow the worst of the worst, and we get social services to every person that's involved if they are occupied. We have a social worker or an outreach worker that we work pretty closely with. I don't think she sleeps, but she works tirelessly to help. And she has. We have a combination of her helping people in places. We have veteran services, outreach workers that are helping us. And then the other piece of this is oftentimes when we step in to remove these motorhomes, families come forward to offer the people that are living in a place to live, because now the last resort is gone. So sometimes it acts as a catalyst for change. And then there's times that we We've worked with transition projects to have beds reserved for those times when there's no place for someone to go. And they've been working very hard to make sure that there is an emergency bed for people that are impacted by this program, the community caretaking program. So we've worked very hard to try to get some balance on the backside of this with the people who are impacted. And the one piece we can't mitigate is they're being victimized by, that's an accurate word, being victimized by someone dumping this hazardous waste dump on them. And they think this is going to be the solution to their problem, and it's the beginning of their problem. And it puts everybody in a bad position. It puts them in a bad position. It puts the officers in a bad position. And we got to put a stop to it from that piece. That's pretty much, I just want to make sure that Mr. Fish knows that we are working and discussing with the Joint Office of Homeless Services about a more efficient way of dealing with these. We've talked about it. We went out and identified a parking lot that had power, had all the services there. But when we start doing a cost analysis, it's prohibitive currently, just mainly because of the disrepair of these motorhomes. It's just keeping them there. It would be so expensive. Most of the local RV parks won't take them if they're more than 10 years old. And some will if they're in good repair, but they have to be in good repair. And we have, my team has been successful in going outside the city and finding RV lots that will take people, and we've arranged to have them towed there. And when we can accommodate that, we accommodate that. In some cases, we've gotten family to come out and bring the RVs to their private property. So there's, as long as it's not something that is going to blow up and burn the house down. And Fire Bureau expressed to me some concerns about when you have them lined up, when one goes, you can have a chain reaction that can start passing on to houses, taking out power poles. So that's a serious concern. We've had 25 of them already burned down. That's pretty much it, the program in a nutshell. We're just utilizing the community caretaking law, which is a state law that enables us to do non-criminal activities to support the safety of the community, things that are inherent to our mission to protect people. So that's what the community caretaking law does. So there's never a criminal component to this. We don't search these and charge crimes. It is completely and totally for human life and safety.
Thank you. Very good.
I just wanted to start by saying, Commissioner Fish, it's a pleasure to see you. I haven't seen you since I learned of your cancer diagnosis. Someone very close to me that I love very much is recently receiving treatment. I'm very hopeful for you, for your healing, and for complete recovery. And we'll pray for you and for your health.
Mr. King, thank you. And all I can tell you is I'm grateful to live in a city that has the Knight Cancer Institute.
Yeah.
Because it turns out we've got a world-class facility in our backyard, and the care I'm getting is first rate. And I think we're making progress. Thank you
and
very
that's,
much.
Yep, and that's where my family member is, and we're very grateful that they're there as well.
Thank you, sir.
As you've heard today, this really ultimately is about safety and health and about a way for us. It's an additional tool to use at our discretion to stop this revolving door of putting what really are dangerous RVs back in the hands of people that are trying to find alternatives to housing in a crisis that they're experiencing. It is designed from everyone's point of view to be a humanitarian approach to a difficult situation. And I just wanted to encourage you that we are, all of us in this team, both of city bureaus as well as community members, working together to carefully balance the interests of all of those that are involved. And it's complicated and difficult, but we're working through it in a way that I think is ultimately progressing towards a result that is better than the current condition. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that one of the advantages of the benefits that I have of having worked in the city for the last 27 and a half years is I get to see people do really amazing work. And in PBOT, Commissioner Saltzman, David Benson, and Kezia Wanner have, and through your leadership and support, have led an effort in PBOT to help in the city and with the police bureau and other city bureaus that is unprecedented in my experience. And they're producing results that are having an impact that are positive in our neighborhoods that are impacting safety and livability in a way that I've never seen before. Randy Teig, as a sergeant at East Precinct, is a nationally recognized expert in all of these matters. And he, in many respects, single-handedly has, through his own initiative and his own drive and his own grit, moved all of these things forward in collaboration with so many different people and organizations. And you heard the testimony that he had today for you about the nature of the challenge and the work that he and his team and NERT have leaned into. And they have delivered very positive results up to this point. I'm extremely proud and respect, admire, and appreciate the work that they have done. And I'm very grateful for Jennifer and so many other people in Lentz and so many other people in Brentwood, Darlington, and so many other community members and families throughout our city who have regularly messaged to us as your representatives that they are sympathetic and they understand that people fall on hard times. And they want us to be, as a city, supportive in every way that we can. But they also want us to do work to ensure the safety of all that are involved, both safety and health. So when we come to you with this, we are coming from the point of view of being at countless and numerous community meetings. We've heard from many other city bureaus. We've heard from representatives of the state of Oregon and the federal government. And there are many, many people who have all been working together to make our neighborhoods and our communities around this issue one notch safer and do it in a way that's humane for all involved. So therefore, I hope that each of you supports this ordinance. Again, it gives us an opportunity to do this work. We will use this tool as an investigative tool, as a deterrent, in a way that is designed to produce the kind of results we've talked about today. Thanks very much for allowing us to testify.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you. Yeah.
That completes the invited testimony.
Commissioner Udaly has a question.
I just wanted to thank all of you for being here today and for the presentation. You've addressed nearly all of my concerns, and I just really appreciate the compassion and humanity that you're bringing to the conversation. It's been a long day, so I just want to make sure that I'm not seeing and hearing double. Did you say that we were on track for 10,000 removals or 10,000 derelict?
We're
RVs?
On track at the end of the year. I think that the actual number is 9,617 cases of abandoned RVs that will be reported to us. We'll be at 30,000 reports of abandoned vehicles this year.
So that number is are unique vehicles. It's not 10.
No, some of them are duplicated. Okay. It's not actual. Some of them have, you might get three reports on the same vehicle.
Okay. I mean, that is a little bit comforting because that would be one derelict RV for every 65 Portland residents if we did have 10,000.
Right.
And it makes me very concerned that our homeless count might be grossly off. Interesting. Okay. And Commissioner Fish, I just wanted to let you know that we've had a conversation, an initial conversation with Director Jolin at Home for Everyone about the possibility of opening up lots. And it is problematic because as has been explained here, if a RV is 10 years old or less or in really good repair, there's typically somewhere for them to go. And then if it's in disrepair, unsafe, obviously we don't want to give it a place to park. And there's not a lot that's in between. It's still something I'm interested in pursuing for those few that might fall into that middle category, but it is problematic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have public testimony on this item, Carla?
I have one person signed up, Scott Pratt.
Scott, come on up. 3 minutes. Name for the record, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Scott Pratt. I am not a lobbyist, so I don't have to say that, but I like to. Over my 35 years living in Portland, I have held a number of volunteer public advocacy positions. I think for these purposes, the one that is probably most on point is the 30 years I spent as a board member and part of the
Oregon
League of Conservation
Voters.
There we go.
Okay.
To me, this is probably the most important part of this problem is the sewage, the gas, the waste, the environmental degradation that is occurring because of derelict RVs. So, and that should be a problem that is not absorbed by the city. It shouldn't be a danger to the public, to the citizens of this city. So I strongly urge you to pass this ordinance, make our city a bit more livable, a bit healthier, and get rid of the dangers that are caused by these derelict RVs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleagues, any further questions on the technical amendments? Please call the roll on the...
Just a quick technical correction on the amendments.
Yes.
They identify in the preceding paragraph that it's to amend sections B and C, but when you look at the amendments themselves, they show as A and B. I just want to clarify for the record that Council intends for those to be B and C rather than A and B. So.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman, any objection?
No.
Very good. Any further discussion on the amendments? Thank you for that clarification. Please call the roll.
You Daly.
Well, thanks again for the presentation, and thank you to Commissioner Saltzman and his office, and PBOT. Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate the technical amendments, Commissioner Saltzman. Aye.
Fish.
I want to compliment everybody on the presentation because I learned a lot, and I want to thank our friend from Lentz. From coming. I took copious notes as you spoke, and I thought you gave really helpful testimony, and thank you for doing that. And Commissioner Saltzman, you've already been singled out for some praise and pulling all this together. And, you know, I've served with Dan for 9 years, and one thing I've come to appreciate is that if you give him a tough, intractable problem, he will usually find a way to solve it. And that's part of his brand on this council, and that's one of the things that I will miss when he finally ends a distinguished career. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank a lot of people here. I want to start out by thanking the Bureau of Transportation, Dave Benson, Kezia Warner, Mark Williams in particular, for your leadership in making this happen, and also Portland Police Bureau, Sergeant Tagg, and Commander King. I don't think this would all happen without the two bureaus joining together to make it so. And you know, especially want to thank Jennifer Young for inviting us to the Lentz Neighborhood Livability meeting in April, because that's really that was a catalyst for me. I got angry at what I saw and what I saw Lentz Neighborhood dealing with every day, and I felt it was time to, you know, to deliver on some things. And so what we've done today, I think, is to show that we have a program that works, and this is going to make it even work better by prohibiting the sale of vehicles that have failing waste systems or other threats to residents of our city. And I also want to thank Mayor Wheeler for his leadership in directing the police bureau to make this all happen too. And this is really a great place we're at, and I hope we're not inundated with more RVs than we already have, because the numbers are astounding. It's just hard to believe there's thousands of abandoned RVs out there, but there are. So thank you to everybody for making this program happen. I also want to thank, before I forgot to thank my staff, always important, Tia Williams, Matt Grum, and Shannon Callahan, formerly of my staff, all had a hand in making this happen too. Aye.
Wheeler?
So this is a great policy. And as with everything we're doing regarding homeless populations in our community, it is a thoughtful balance. On one hand, as you heard from the people giving testimony, we are seeking a compassionate approach to a humanitarian crisis. On the other hand, as we heard loudly and clearly in Lentz, we also are expected by the public we serve to uphold environmental, public safety, and public health standards. And I think everybody engaged in this process struck a very thoughtful balance. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to say is thank you to those of you who testified today. I thought that was very compelling testimony, and I thought it nicely covered both of those aspects, the compassion on one hand, the community standards and the law on the other. And I want to commend Commissioner Saltzman I think one of the best decisions I've made as mayor was to make him transportation commissioner. I think he's been very responsive to a number of very complicated issues. It's hard to believe. It is October. Pretty soon, Dan, we're going to be talking about ice and snow on the streets again. Yeah. And then after that, potholes again. And then we'll get back to more of these issues. But I believe that in every case, you and your team have risen to the occasion brilliantly. The second thing, I'm joking, this is like the 10th thing. The next thing I want to just say is this is not a Portland-only problem. And I have to keep coming back to this because it occurs to me as I listen to people and I go out and I meet with people in the community, there's a sense of hopelessness insofar as people think this is a Portland-only problem. I want to assure you that it is not. This issue with regard to RVs is all up and down the West Coast. And my suspicion, Commander King and Sergeant Teig, is that you're going to be getting lots and lots of calls, if you're not already, from other jurisdictions asking you how you are doing this. And I encourage us to continue to work with all those jurisdictions across the West Coast to address this issue in both a thoughtful, effective, as well as a compassionate way. I want to thank the folks on my staff. As always, if I ever look like an idiot, that's all me. If I ever look like I'm doing something good, you can bet that Seraphie, Burke, and Andrea are behind it as they were on this. So thank you for that. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. I'm sorry, that's the amendment. I'm getting ahead of myself. The amendment. Now to the main motion. Please call the roll. Unless there's any further questions, colleagues. Commissioner Udaly. Call the roll, please.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to everybody who's already been mentioned, particularly Commissioner Saltzman, and also to the Lentz Neighborhood Association. Jennifer Young, amazing work that you've been doing, but also in partnership with Judy Law and Cora Potter and so many folks who've been working in Lentz for a very long time. And I agree with Commissioner Saltzman that the hearing we had, or the town hall that we had in Lentz, was extremely compelling. So now we'll get the RVs taken care of. We've got the nice new soccer field. We've got the playground fixed. So we'll have to decide together what's the next thing to challenge to go. But it's really great to see good things happening in Lentz. Did I hear correctly, Assistant Chief King?
I was acting assistant chief.
Well, I like
it. He did a great job.
I thought it sounded very good. So thank you for your long-standing work with the Police Bureau and obviously with the partnerships that you've formed here. And thank you to Janine on my staff, and especially to Matt Grum on Commissioner Saltzman, who always gets back to us very quickly. Aye.
Fish?
If you were the acting assistant chief, did that mean we saw you on Grimm?
No, I never did make a
degree. All right, well, your loss. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.